A very good evening to you all, dear brothers in Christ. We thank our Heavenly Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving this wonderful opportunity to share His wonderful words of life with you all. Especially, it's almost more than a year that we have been gathering together to discuss many of the important topics that are related in the Bible, which each and every Christian of this world must and should know. You see, because, you see, the Bible says that God is seeking the persons who are, you see, fearing His words. You see, God is seeing a person who trembles at His words, who always abides by His words. So therefore, Jesus also once said, if you abide in My words, you see, indeed, you are My disciples. So today, we are going to see a very, very important topic, you see, as we are at the end of our study course, you see. And today we are going to study about Babylon. So what is this Babylon? You see, we all know that the ancient city that existed during the days of Daniel. You see, the great city Babylon, the king of it was King Nebuchadnezzar, a universal emperor. He had built a great and magnificent city called as Babylon. The speciality of Babylon was that its wall, you see, it was not a small a wall like a small fortress, which you find in many places, but these walls were huge and gigantic walls. The height of the walls were nearly more than 300 feet. You see, brethren, you see, it was greater than a multi-story building. And you see, the thickness of the walls of Babylon, you see, the fortress thickness was actually 100 feet. That means a 100 feet road. Imagine a 100 feet road in Nepal. So wide it is. So much thick the fortress of Babylon was there. You see. And it was not a hollow, you see, fortress. It was made out of solid rock. There used to be no hollow chambers in the fortress. And that, you see, Babylon, you see, on the top of the fortress, the wall of the fortress, you see, continuously chariots used to run. So the chariots used to have four horses, and four such chariots used to run at a time, you see, together continuously, you see, completely covering the, you see, the walls of Babylon. And to monitor this huge, magnificent city, you see, it had more than 250 watch towers. You see, more than 250 watch towers were there. You see, and more than 100 gates were there. Those gates were made up of pure brass, solid brass. You see, and it was really impossible for somebody to impring, you see, this fortress without opening the gate. It was highly impossible. And you see, the watchtowers daily and continuously, always the watchman should be there. You see, he was watching it continuously. And no one was permitted to enter into this Babylon without permission. And the specialty of this Babylon was that it was built upon River Euphrates. You see, the River Euphrates is to diagonally pass through the city of Babylon. You see, Why was it built upon the River Euphrates? You see, because, you see, Babylon had huge gardens. You see, we know very well that Babylon was famous for its hanging gardens. You see, why king built this hanging gardens? If you see, king loved a princess, but she was from a very chill place. And as she came to Babylon, Iraq, today's Iraq, see the temperature there. She could not stay there. And the queen decided to return back to her hometown. But king loved her so much, you see. And he promised her that he will build an entire city which is full of you see, greenery. And a lot of water. And with chill weather. You see, That is the reason the entire city of Babylon was built on Euphrates River continuously. You see, water stream used to flow inside the city, all over the places where Gadam was there. There was continuously water, you see, circulating. Hence, this city was built upon River Euphrates. And not only that one, Babylon was not only famous for his hanging gardens, it was also famous for his golden statues. You see, the golden statues, they're not some ordinary statues. You see, it had a multi-metallic statue, you see, even reaching to the height of 90 feet and by 9 feet. It was made up of solid gold. Hence, Babylon was called as the Golden City. Let us read Daniel 3:1. It is given to us in Daniel 3:1. Can anybody read?
Daniel 3:1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon.
You see, the height and the length and the breadth is totally given there. It was made out of solid gold. You see, just imagine, the gold is so expensive today. To buy 1 gram only is quite difficult. But imagine the king built a statue with 90 feet made of solid gold, it seems. You see, 90 feet, can you imagine what's the height of 90 feet? You see, today we can see in a Ganesha festival, they made, you see, huge structures, statues, no? Of Ganesha. You see, those are made out of clay, that are hollow. Those are only so huge. Imagine 90 feet. You see, golden image means that is the reason Babylon was called as the Golden City and the glory of all the kingdoms. You see, read Isaiah 13:19 and Isaiah 14:4.
Isaiah 13:19. In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaiah 14:4, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how had the oppressor seized, the golden city seized.
Very good. So, you see, the golden city, the glory of all the kingdoms, such a great Babylon, you see, King Cyrus decided to capture it. You see, we know who is King Cyrus. We read about it in Daniel 2nd chapter, 7th chapter. He was the king of Medo-Persia. Yeah, he decided to capture this great Babylon. But whatever he did, dear brethren, you see, it was highly impossible for him to capture Babylon. Because, you see, to go inside this fort, you see, he had to cross these walls of Babylon, which was highly secured, you see, and highly guarded. So it was highly impossible. But, you see, the Babylon was besieged by Cyrus, he thought, you see, and he decided to observe what is the weakness of Babylon. When he observed, he came to know the weakness of Babylon is its water supply. That Babylon the Great was completely dependent upon the water supply of River Euphrates. Then you see, River Euphrates went through Babylon and exited Babylon without any guards. So King Cyrus thought, this is the only way that we can enter Babylon and destroy it. So he decided to dig a channel next to Babylon, you see, and completely diverted River Euphrates. And River Euphrates, which entered Babylon, began dry. As it became dry, you see, King Cyrus entered Babylon and destroyed Babylon. So this is how King Cyrus destroyed Babylon. But, dear brethren, as you see, King Cyrus was, you see, planning to capture Babylon, you see, and dig a channel to divert the river Euphrates. No, what King Belteshazzar was doing, you see, in Babylon, King Belteshazzar was doing in Babylon was that he came and saw for the fortress. The people of Medo and Persia were digging channels. He could not understand why they were digging, you see, channels. He thought they were fools. Simply, instead of you see, going and returning back to their hometown, they're wasting their time digging some mud and all. Then that night, he came and called all the princes of his empire and made a great feast, made an excellent party. You see, a great party was given. So let us read about that one in Daniel 5:1. Daniel 5:1.
Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000.
See, here it says, you see, a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. You see, a great feast was made. You see, a great, you see, party was organized for everybody, all the leaders, you see, all the masters, all the lords were called. You see, usually, whenever they make a party, you see, they give toast, no, cheers, cheers, cheers. Similarly, when this party was made, you see, King Belshazzar, you see, offered a toast for all the gods. And you see, as he was drunk, he was completely immersed in wine, he told the people to bring the cups of Jerusalem, the holy cups that were used in the temple of Jerusalem, that were used in the court, you see, to you see, take water from the laver, and other utensils were given. You see, king told them to bring all these cups to drink wine in it. So what happened? Let us read verse 2 and 3, brother.
Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them.
He drank in them. You see, that was a holy vessel, you see, which was never to be misused, Abraham. Anybody misused in the temple, they were killed on the spot. God is to punish them with death penalty. But here, King never feared any of those things. You see, without any fear in his, you see, in his mind, was completely gone because of the drinks. He told them to bring it. And he drank wine and gave toast to the gods of Israel. Next, what happened? Verse 4 and 5, brother.
They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers
Thank
of
you.
a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the walls of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of that hand that wrote.
Very good, you see. And as they drank, they praised the gods of silver and gold, iron and wood, compared the God Almighty to the gods of wood, hay, and stone. You see, God became angry in the same hour. You see, a hand came and wrote something on the wall. Imagine, they're all completely drunk. You see, they don't have the conscience at all. You see, dear brethren, you see, there are no senses. You see, suddenly a hand, not even complete body, only the hand, comes and writes something on the wall. As soon as this is written, you see, king lost his all his, you see, drinks. What all pleasure he had, he completely lost. His senses came to, you see, proper. What happened then? Verse 6, brother.
Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another.
King's face changed. Until now, you're so happy, merry, you see, partying. But as soon as this happened, dear brethren, you see, his thoughts changed. You see, the lions of his, you see, the joints of his lions were loosed. The belt which he was wearing loosed began to tremble. You see, his knees began to tremble, it seems, you see, because something had come and written on the walls of Babylon. You see, then he called all the soothsayers, you see, all the astrologers to come and read what is written on the walls of Babylon. But none of them could read because that was written in the Hebrew language. When he was much worried and perplexed, wondering who was able to read, you see, that time, you see, Belshazzar's grandmother was there. She told him about the narration of King Nebuchadnezzar, how your grandfather, in pride, he did the same thing, and how God had humbled him through various experiences. She tells the testimony of God of Israel. Read verses 18 to 23, brother.
O the king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, and whom he kept alive, and whom he set up, and whom he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Although his son of Belshazzar has not humbled thine heart, though knewest all this.
Upon our information, king calls Daniel. Daniel once interpreted the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, when he comes, you see, he starts interpreting the writing on the wall. And what does he say? Oh, though, you see, and though his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though knowest all this, even though you knew everything, you see, you never humbled yourself. You see, you in pride, you see, have done this thing. Now, next, what happens? Verse 23 to verse 28, brother.
But has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone. We see not hear, not know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with his scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius and Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old.
You see? So Daniel tells, oh, though king, though you knew everything, you see, you did not humble yourself. Then he interprets, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parsin. What does it mean by that one? God has numbered thy kingdom. Though it had been weighed in the balances and found wanting, thy kingdom is divided among the Medes and the Persians. You see, as soon as the interpretation is given, you see, Belshazzar immediately honors him with all silver, gold, and everything and promotes him. But unfortunately, his promotion, neither the king's kingship, stayed till the morning. You see, that very night, you see, King Cyrus entered Babylon and he killed King, you see, Belshazzar. See, so how did you see Cyrus enter Babylon? If you see, it is through the water channel that was passing through Babylon. You see, God made it to dry, the river Euphrates. You see, and instead of water, you see, a river passing through Babylon, the army of Cyrus entered Babylon. Let us read Isaiah 44:27. Isaiah 44:27.
That said to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers.
Very good. See, dry up thy rivers. So this is how they came. And as soon as king comes inside, he sees the wall. That is something written there in Hebrew language. Then he asks the people, what is this? What has happened? Then they completely tell the story. Yesterday night, what happened? A hand came and wrote many, many tekel uparsin. Nobody could interpret. That time, Daniel came and interpreted this one. And immediately, Cyrus was so happy. He called Daniel and told, what is the meaning of this one? Please tell me. So Daniel explains the complete meaning of it. Daniel tells, you are the Lord's anointed. Even before you had come to attack Babylon, God had already chosen you and decided that through you, this mighty Babylon will fall. You see, so as soon as King Cyrus comes to know that already about him, the prophecy is there in the Bible, he feels very happy, you see, and tells the people of Israel to go to Israel. They are all let free. Freedom was given to the people of Israel to go to Israel and build the temple of Jerusalem. And he is the God of gods. Only him should be worshipped. He gives a commandment. So, what is the prophecy that Daniel shared with King Cyrus? Read Isaiah 44:28.
That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shall be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid.
He is my shepherd. He will do all my pleasure. This is what was written about Cyrus. You see, Isaiah 45:1-2.
Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the lions of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut.
You see,
I will go before thee.
I will go before thee. I will give command to gates to be opened. So God was the one gave the idea to Cyrus, so he may divert the water and to break open the brass gates into enter Babylon. So this was the destruction about Babylon. So what lessons do we have here? You see, from this great city of Babylon, we read about Babylon, you see, in Genesis chapter 10. First time Babylon name comes there. You see, they had a common language. Hence the whole people began to build a tower. Tower to where? Tower to reach heaven. They forgot that, you see, God had promised Noah that I shall no more bring forth flood. People forget the promise of God. Instead of that one, they began to trust in their own idea and began to build a tower to escape from the flood and reach heaven, reach where God is there. You see, began to build a great tower. But God saw from heaven that it was totally utter confusion. And you see, God confused their language. The language was totally confused. So what one spoke, the other person never understood. You see, similarly, dear brethren, we read one more Babylon in the book of Revelation. You see, book of Revelation is one more Babylon now. Mystery Babylon, the great mystery Babylon. You see, read Revelation 17:5.
And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth.
Very good. Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. You see, this was the name that was written upon the, you see, Hedda, it seems, Babylon. You see, when Babylon was already destroyed in Genesis 10 chapter, when it was destroyed during the days of Daniel, how come one more Babylon comes in the book of Revelation? Dear brethren, that means there is one more Babylon which is similar to Genesis 10 chapter and which is similar to Daniel's days. Which is that Babylon? You see, that are building a tower, you see, to go to heaven. Which is this Babylon? You see, this Babylon is a great confusion. You see, this Babylon is none other than the false churches. All the false churches, you see, that preach false doctrines are considered as, you see, Babylon in the sight of God. Because it is totally confusion. They all have one concept. You see, what is that one concept? The gateway of heaven. Everybody thinks that the church is a gateway of heaven. If you go to the church Sunday, you see, put your offerings and believe all the doctrines which are, you see, father or the pastor says, you see, you will go to heaven, believe in the name of Jesus, you shall be saved and you should go to heaven. But the path of heaven is not so easy. You see, we all know very well, we have studied about the church. What is the real meaning of the church? We have already studied about the discipleship of Christ. You see, what are the terms and conditions? It's just not believing, but being the followers of Christ. Follows means follow his teachings, first of all. Today, none of the churches follow the teachings of Christ. Whichever church you go, let it be any church. Let it be any, you see, a pastor, you see, or a father who's preaching, they're all preaching false in the name of Christ. Why? Because, dear brethren, you see, God sees from heaven that their language is totally confused. You see, what one believes, the other person doesn't believe. What they believe is not what the Bible tells. So it is utter confusion. You see, the Bible tells the soul dies, but they believe that the soul doesn't die. As soon as a man dies, he goes to heaven and hell. You see, whenever a wicked person also, if he dies, even though he's a drunkard, they pray and tell, oh, hallelujah, amen. Today, the soul of this brother is abode in Christ. Where does the Bible say? Drunkards can never enter the kingdom of God. If you at the dead body, if you tell that he's gone to heaven, his soul has gone to heaven, what preaching we are doing, just because they're Christians to please some human beings. Therefore, God sees this is utter confusion. You see, and this Babylon, you see, today is very secret place. You see, it's not so easy to go inside Babylon. You see, there are a lot of permissions allowed in false churches. You can celebrate Christmas, for that one permission is there. You can celebrate Easter, for that one permission is there. You can celebrate Resurrection Sunday, for that one permission is there. But for Bible study, is there a permission? They will tell, no, 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 brother. I will tell you, I should ask my father. What father? Bible says, call no man as father. Father is there. All completely violation against God. God, sir. You see, what is Jesus say? You see, Jesus said, the birds of the air have nest, the foxes of the forest have holes, but son of man has no place to lay his head, sir. What is the meaning of that one? Foxes means false prophets in the Bible. Birds of the air means devil. Devil's doctrines are given permission in the churches to preach. False prophets are allowed inside the church to preach. But Jesus Christ is never allowed to lay his head, means what? His plan, his mind. It is never allowed to preach what the Bible says about God's mind in any of the churches. Therefore, this Babylon is completely secured. Nobody can easily go inside. You see, but the people inside were ignorant of the work that is going on outside. You see, God was already doing a work. Similarly, You see, this great Babylon, it is not going to stand forever, ever and ever. Everybody thinks that, oh, my church is very big church. So many people are there. It's a very holy church. We will go to heaven, pa. No, papa, papa. Nothing. Nobody can go to heaven unless you follow the teachings of God. Jesus clearly said, indeed, if you keep my words, you shall be my disciples. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You see, that is what the people think. Just they become the member in a church, they think that they'll go to heaven, gateway of heaven. No, that is utter confusion, dear brethren. You know, this Babylon actually was supported by water, river Euphrates. Once the river dried, the Babylon was no use at all. Nobody could stay inside Babylon. Similarly, today's false church, the great mystery Babylon, you know, it is supported by whom? Supported by the water. Let us read Revelation 17:15.
And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
You see, the water which thou seest, the horse sitting upon the water. What is that one? The nation, the tongues, the languages, people. It is the people who are supporting this great whore, Babylon. If the people don't support this Babylon, their system will collapse, dear brethren. You can see a lot of big companies where, you see, they were earlier Oneida, BPL, Voltas, Yamaha, Escort, other companies there, HMT, none of this Titan, none of these companies are there, dear brethren, because people never supported their theory. You see, the concept was never supported. Once the people withdrew their support, automatically the system collapsed. You see, dear brethren, therefore, these churches are supported by contributions of the people. The people don't come, if the people don't contribute, who will go to, who will, how will the church stand? It will be a dead church. You see, that is what is going to happen in the coming days. You see, this beast, what we have studied, is already we have studied in Daniel 7 chapter. Babylon, Medo-Persia, and the fourth beast was the Roman Empire. So it is the church mixing. The woman is a church. You see, she is a virgin. But here it has come into a whore, a prostitute. That means she is engaged to Christ. She has to wait till the second advent of Christ. But instead of that one, before only she has got engaged to the world of the empires of this world and began to rule. That is fornication, that is adultery in the Bible. Therefore, dear brethren, you see, what is the judgment of God? She has got a cup in her hand. See, what is the judgment of God? Revelation 17, chapter 1 to 4.
And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will see you unto thee the judgment of great whore that seated upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
See,
So he
clearly
catched
given, no? The kings of the earth are made fornication. You see, with her and the nations, the earth have been made to drunk of her wine, it seems. How did the king do? You see, he drank wine from the golden cup. So similarly, a golden cup is there in her hand. You see, she has made everybody to drink of that wine, it seems. Now, what is that golden cup? Verse continue with that till verse 4.
So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication.
You see, she has a golden cup in her hand, but what is inside her? Inside wine is there. No good wine. All the filthiness of a fornication. You see, all the evil things. What is that golden cup? You see, dear brethren, that golden cup in the hands of the false church is the word of God. Bible is the golden cup. Remember, where did they bring the vessels from? From the temple, holy temple. golden cup was brought. You see, that was in a temple. That was actually the church's temple. You see, we know that the church is the temple of the living God. The vessels in God's church is the God's words, the word of God, the Bible. But everybody on the church, the people have a Bible in their hand. But what is inside the Bible? Inside the Bible is full of filthiness, false doctrine. None of the doctrine are pure. You see, you go and ask them about the resurrection, they don't know about resurrection at all. You see, if they go and ask them about a soul dies, they will tell about the resurrection. If you tell about the resurrection, they will tell about the souls in hell or heaven. Their doctrines is totally confused. And you know how the people are confused? The verse says, the entire earth was drunk with her wine. They're completely, you see, intoxicated by her wine, Ishimsa. That means, even after we teach completely, clearly from the Bible that the soul dies, people hardly understand it. Even after clearly proving from the Bible that the Lord's Supper has to be taken yearly once, that too after sunset, nobody wants to follow it. Why? Because they're drunk. Their mind is completely abnormal. You see, just imagine about a drunkard person. Can you speak to a drunkard person? Can you tell him to walk properly? No. Similarly, the whole world is completely immersed in the false doctrine. Completely drunk, completely drenched in that false doctrine. You see? Huh? See how a drunkard behaves? Let us read Proverbs 23rd chapter, 29-35. Proverbs 23rd chapter, 29-35. Verse by verse, we'll read and go.
Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine.
You see, who had contentions, who had babblings? Contentions is what? Unnecessary argument. If we come and discuss about the word of God, they simply keep on arguing without any conclusion at all. You see, God's children should always be ready to surrender to the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. If the Bible says this one, if a Bible is like this, even though my thoughts are totally wrong, it is our duty to correct it. You see, but those who are completely drunk with wine, how is their mind? You see, full of contention, full of babblings, babblings in water. They don't know even to speak properly. Blah, 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 blah. How does a drunkard speak? He doesn't know what to speak. He'll keep on speaking nonsense. That is what is happening in the churches today. No truth at all. It seems to be like truth, but there is no truth at all. You see, brethren, it says, they the tarry long at the wine. Mixed wine? Cocktail. Huh? Take all the doctrines, mix it, drink it. Oh boy. Huh? How is the wine? How is this false doctrine? Continue, Buddha. 31.
Look not though upon the wine when it is red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright.
You see, don't look at the wine when it is come cup. In the golden cup, the wine, the red wine will sparkle, beautifully sparkle, looks beautiful. Looks colorful, you see? But don't, you see? Be deceived by it. You see? Huh? How does it go, it seems, sir? Huh? He that, you see? Huh? Drinketh, how does it feel? You see? It will go inside our throat slowly. Similarly, false doctrine, dear brethren. Look not though upon the wine when it is red. When it giveth her color in the cup, don't be deceived by this false doctrine. You see, when it moveth itself, all right. Now, no, continue. Important point, verse 20, 32.
At the last, it biteth like a serpent and it stingeth like an adder.
Oh, it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. This false doctrine, once it enters inside, it will be like serpent biting you. Who is the serpent? Ancient serpent, Satan. Satan, through these false doctrines, completely, you see, mesmerized the Christian world today. 99.99% Christians doesn't know the truth at all. Remember, dear brother, how many subjects we had taken? You see, three world, three ways. Daniel 2nd chapter, 7th chapter. The fifth universal empire that is going to be established on this world. The immortal soul, the truth about the immortal soul, the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of Trinity, the Lord's Supper, the baptism, the great Antichrist system, the second coming of our Lord. Everybody are still in expectation of Antichrist. Already has come and done his already major work. People are not able to identify, recognize it. Why? Because they are completely immersed in this false doctrine. It is like a Satan biting them. They're not able to realize. Then 33, brother.
Thine eyes shall behold a strange woman, and thine heart shall utter perverse things.
You shall see strange woman. Who is the woman in the Bible? Woman in the Bible means church. Strange woman means false church. So this study is not good, pa. They all teach wrong, which is against my church. Of course, your church is wrong. If your church is wrong, you should leave the church and correct yourself. You can't expect the truth to, you see, align as per the church. The church has to align as per the truth that is recorded in the Bible. They will see strange women, you see, and utter perverse things. You see, how is the drunkard? How do they behave? You see, if you tell them, hey, please walk properly, see and go, you'll tell, no, for him, five things will come in front of him. If a bus is coming, he will think five buses are coming. You see, because for his eyes, five buses will be there. He won't be able to recognize which is the true one. That is the condition of the church today. The whole Babylon is completely immersed in this wrong doctrine. They're not even able to identify the truth. The truth that is there in the Bible. You see, they speak perverse things, nonsense things. When you speak, you should speak the word of God. Don't speak unnecessary things which are useless, which are waste, which doesn't edify anybody, which is against the Bible. You see, but they speak things which are not there in the Bible. They use the Bible. That's what the king used the cup only. But he drank. What did he drink? Did he drink the holy wine of the temple? You see, the holy things in the temple? No. He drank his own wine that was prepared in Babylon, utter confusion. You see? Now, verse 34 and 35.
Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth up upon the top of a mast.
You see? How shall be? He shall be like somebody lying upon the, you see, water. Can you sleep on the water? You see? It will be floating like this. No self-control. That means who are drunk with a false doctrine, they are not stable. They can't see the right path. They will be going the wrong path. They are not stable Christians. Then continue, brother. 35.
They have stricken me, shall thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again.
Even if God, you see, beats them, chastise them, they don't even recognize or understand or realize their mistake. That is the condition of the false doctrine. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. That is the, you see, the great Babylon. You know, therefore, what does God tell? God tells, come out of Babylon. Read Revelation 18 chapter verses 1 to 4, brother.
And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with his strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every false spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
You see, what is the judgment of God? It says, Babylon is fallen, fallen. Why God tells two times Babylon is fallen from the grace of God? Because Babylon is composed of two systems. One is the great Roman Catholic system, other is what all the Protestant denomination, the entire Protestant denomination, take it the Lutheran, take it the Baptist, take it the Jehovah's Witness, take it the Presbyterian, take it the CSI, take it the Pentecost, take any church, dear brethren, the entire church system is in Babylon. Therefore, it says Babylon is fallen, fallen. It has become the habitation of the devils. So, who is there inside it? Satan has come and settled inside the churches. You see, therefore, dear brethren, what does God say? My children, you are there in Babylon. Once if you realize your mistake, it is your responsibility to come out. God today is calling, come out of our my people, that you may be not partakers of our plague. You see, how are the, you see, today the pastors and the fathers in the church. Let us read Jeremiah 20, third chapter, 16, 17.
Thus said the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they sell unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you.
You see, what did they prophesy? They tell, I saw a vision, a brother is there, a sister is there in this one. I'm telling you, sister, I'm calling you by name, in the name of Jesus, come out. You see, and tells that all the prophecies are utter lies. What does the Bible say? You see, no need to prophesy anything about anybody, dear brethren. The entire Bible is made for the entire human being. God's promises are yea and amen. It will truly be fulfilled. When God has promised, I shall never leave you nor forsake you, what is the necessary that somebody should come and tell from the stage that, oh, God has told you specially? God has told it to everybody, each and every person who believes in the name of Christ. God's promises are true in their life. But these speak lies. Read verse 25 to 26, brother.
I have heard what the prophet said, that prophecy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are the prophets of the deceit of their own heart.
You see, the prophets are a deceit of their own, or whatever comes to their mind, they tell. You know, why did they do all these things? Because of money. Just stop contributing money to their church. You'll realize their real character. Read Micah, 3rd chapter, 11th verse.
The heirs thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet they will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us?
You see,
None evil can come upon us.
that's what they tell. No evil will come. Lord is there with us. But they're doing all these things for money. Show me one church which has been run today without any collection of offerings. Apostle Paul labored, worked, he earned, and he supported the church. You see, and that is the way Lord's work has to be done. Freely have you got, freely thou shalt give. All are selfish. Jeremiah 6:13.
For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely.
You see, everyone, from the least to the greatest, everybody, you see, are given for money. None of them are sincere, brethren. You see, therefore, our sins are reached to heaven. God tells, leave Babylon. Read Jeremiah 51, 7 to 9.
Babylon had been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Hold for her, take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies.
You see, what do you say? Babylon is the golden cup in the Lord's hand. She was one time in the Lord's hand, but now, you see, Babylon can never be healed. She's beyond, you see, the healing level. So, no use of correcting the Babylon. She will never be corrected. So, God's advice is that we leave Babylon. Okay. Now, will this Babylon be destroyed? How was the ancient Babylon destroyed? The waters that were entering Babylon was diverted. It was dried. In the dry land, Cyrus entered Babylon and destroyed. Similarly, see, who will enter these false churches and destroy it? Revelation 16, 12. Read with it. Revelation 16, 12.
And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared.
Very good. You see? When the angel poured out his vial, that's God's anger. You see, it will be poured upon Babylon. What will happen, it seems? The waters of the river Euphrates were dried, so that the way for the king of the east was made in it seems. Now, what is this river Euphrates? We have studied in the four rivers of Eden. The last river is called as river Euphrates. That represents the world, mankind. Once God pours his wrath upon the entire world, what will happen? All the people entering Babylon and supporting Babylon, they will stop supporting it. They will come out of Babylon. Then what will happen? Automatically, Jesus, who is the king from the east, he will enter Babylon. Why east? Because, you see, do you remember that what comes in the east? Sun. We read Matthew 24 chapter, Jesus comes like a sun, that which rises from the east to the west. So, Jesus is called as son of righteousness in Malachi 4, 2 and 3. So, Jesus is the son of righteousness. He will enter Babylon and destroy this entire Babylon system. So, before the destruction happens, God tells many, many tekelu parsin. Babylon is fallen, fallen. Though I've been weighed in the balances, you are being found wanting. Your numbers, your days are counted. You shall be divided among the Medes and the Persians. So, Persian king Cyrus, as he came and destroyed Babylon, similarly, Jesus will destroy this great Babylon. How? Revelation 18, 21, brother.
And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all.
Very good. You see, as a great millstone is thrown into the sea, Babylon will be thrown into the sea. Why millstone? Jesus said, if anybody is stumbling one of his God's children, it is better that a millstone be tied to his neck and thrown into the sea. Why? Because if a stone falls into the sea, it goes to the deepest of the deepest, you see, part of the ocean, and it can never be lifted up. It's not so easy. It's very expensive. Therefore, many, many ships have sunk. Even Titanic, it was never tried to lift it back because it can't be lifted. It will be more expensive. Instead of that one, they can build 10 more Titanics. That is the reason. This is utter destruction of Babylon. Babylon shall be destroyed, shall never come back. Shortly, dear brethren, you see, we are in the very last stages. This Babylon, this church, false systems, though you may be going there, these things will definitely collapse in their utter lies. So it is time for us as God's children to take decision. What is the decision? What did King Cyrus tell to Israel? Please leave Babylon. Go to Jerusalem. Build your temple of the Lord. Similarly, God tells, come out of Babylon. Build yourself. You are the temple of the living God. Build yourself into Christ likeness and make your calling election. Sure. Read Revelation 18:4.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
You see, you should not receive of her plagues. Hence, you come out of her. Dear brethren, it is high time that as God's children, we take decision. You have been listening to the classes almost nearly more than 1 year. You are all being taught sincerely. You see what the Bible says. You see about so many things, you see, in God's plan. So it's God's children. As God's children, you need to take decision whether we need to stay in Babylon or we need to quit Babylon. You see, you have to take decisions because until you take decisions, you see, continuing, you see, is a very difficult task. Bible says, if a two person doesn't agree to each other, it is difficult to, you see, walk together. So you need to be in consent with God. You see, you need to decide whether you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ or serve the God of this world. You know, the God of this world has got all the false doctrines, whatever you have been learning. You see, we are taught the truth from the Bible. So it's high time that God's children should take bold decisions. So dear brethren, so we end today's class here. So anybody has got any questions, any doubts regarding anything you want to ask, you please ask. You're free to discuss.
Peter, the uncle,
ठीक छ हजुर धन्यवाद
हुन्छ यता पिटर छैन ओके
ओके सो बी प्रिपेयर्ड टु एक्सप्रेस युर सेल्फ ब्रदर विष्णु एन्ड ब्रदर